A large component of our work also is between the crosstalk between the estrogen receptor and HER2. And there's increasing evidence now that if you block the HER2 pathway, you can actually upregulate ER and vice versa. In some of the studies which Mish Dalsit and our group has done, is that in patients who have received endocrine therapy, there could also be an upregulation of the HER2 pathway. So there's crosstalk between the two, and this can be another escape mechanism for trastuzumab resistance.
What do we know about tumors switching tumor markers, going from HER2 negative, HER2 positive, ER negative to ER positive, and what can induce that?
Yeah, not a lot. Clearly, there are multiple data sets that have demonstrated that there's a small proportion of tumors that using clinical assays will change their status from ER positive to ER negative, or HER2 positive to HER2 negative, or conversely, to a slightly smaller degree. I think speaking to the kind of thing that Jenny's referring to, the idea that if you block HER2 in a previously hormone receptor negative tumor, can you upregulate the expression of the hormone receptor as the tumor tries to sort of dance its way around our intervention? There's very little clinical data. I'm aware of a small study which was reported, I think, last year, where they did do serial biopsies in patients treated with trastuzumab and saw a small number of tumors that actually did see expression of estrogen receptor, but it's very preliminary. And I'm not sure that our clinical assays are necessarily that well suited for identifying these kind of alterations that might be happening on a more subtle level than we currently can tell. As you know, the quality of our clinical assays, we treat our clinical assays for all of these receptors as gold standards, and they certainly are terrific. But as we all know, even what we clinically use today is not always as accurate as we'd like it to be. And certainly some of the groups looking at better ways to give us improved quantitative assessment of hormone receptors and things like that will give us a little better information than we've had with just clinical immunohistochemical-based assays right now.
I want to shift a little bit towards clinical research that integrates with this translational concept, and specifically the neoadjuvant trials that have been done and are being done. Jenny, where do you see this heading in the future? It seems like we're hearing more about much more emphasis on tissue correlative studies and clinical trials right now.
I think that's absolutely true. I think especially as we begin to understand all the different subtypes of breast cancer, we are going to be doing clinical studies in specific subtypes of breast cancer, and we need to do tissue correlates. I think that goes without saying. It's like trying to try trastuzumab across the board in all comers. It would have shown no efficacy. I think that the research community is moving towards a common endpoint in collecting tissue up front in primary breast cancer patients as well as metastatic breast cancer patients. Interesting thing would now be the emerging collection of tissue by circulating tumor cells. And I think that is a very important new area where it would be an accessible area where we can serially sample metastatic breast cancer to see how treatments may change the biology of the tumor cells itself. In a similar vein, I would like to briefly mention the study that came out of UT Southwestern, where they actually saw that HER2 was actually increased. Patients were HER2 negative and the CTCs became HER2 positive in up to 30% of patients who in a very, very, very small cohort of patients actually responded to trastuzumab. I think that we do not know a lot about how treatments may change the natural biology of disease and whether or not, but I do believe that Lisa and I will both say that we need to repeat the biopsies in a lot of patients in order to find the best therapy for them at the time of metastases.
Now, maybe I missed something. And this thing that you just talked about with upregulation, was this as a result of an intervention?
So this is a work that was done by Jonathan Ehr in UT Southwestern. And he basically collected circulating tumor cells. And the patients were actually HER2 negative. And after systemic therapy, the CTCs became HER2 positive.
And what kind of therapy did they get?
Chemotherapy. And up to 30% of the patients became HER2 positive. And we now, there are several other data sets, some with serum HER2, that show that they can actually switch from being HER2 negative to HER2 positive. These are very small, very, very small data sets. You're talking a very few numbers of patients. But a very interesting, perhaps, preliminary look, the so little that we understand about how the disease may change at the time of progression. Something to just keep in the back of our minds.
Jenny, can you talk a little bit about your research looking at neoadjuvant therapy, what you've done and what you're planning to do?
I think that the neoadjuvant setting is the main advantage is that you can collect serial biopsies in some patients to see how does the drug work, does it get to its target, what are the downstream effects of hitting that target. And so we've done some work with neoadjuvant trastuzumab, and we've confirmed, we were probably the first, and it's been subsequently confirmed, that the AKT PI3 kinase survival pathway is the primary pathway which trastuzumab works. And that is important because it implies synergism with chemotherapy, and as well as the story now unfolding with PTEN and c-MYC fits in very nicely with that being the primary pathway. So that's some of the work we're doing there. And we have now a study on neoadjuvant lapitinib looking at its activity in HER2 overexpressing breast cancer with serial biopsies to see how does lapitinib work and is it different from trastuzumab.